I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was 15 in the summer, we went out to Cape Cod, and when we got there, after two long, arduous days in a car with the whole family, I said to one of my younger brothers, I said, "You know, you do not appreciate me enough, right?" And I said, "I have a way in which you could appreciate me even more." And he said, "Oh, well, what's that?" I said, "Well, I need a hype man, okay? And I need you to go before me or behind me and proclaim that I am your older brother and that I am the greatest brother there is in all of humanity, right?" And so, you know, the problem when you ask a younger sibling to do something is that they might do it, but they'll do it in such a way that they'll so annoy you that you'll want to kill them, right? And so he went on for 3 days to say nothing more than this, right? And finally I said to him, "You know, you have to stop, right? There are limits, right? People are going to get annoyed at you, and if they get annoyed at you, then they're going to get annoyed at me, right? And we can't have that, right?" And so he said, "Well, you asked me to do this, and you said that I was not giving you enough accolades as an older brother." And so there he was, making a fool of himself and of me. And let me tell you, I had to go home after the third day when we were in Cape Cod and wrestle him into submission and pull the demons out of him. So we have a situation in our readings today that's much like that, right? We've got Paul and Silas, right? And Paul, in our reading from last week, got a vision to go from where he was in Troas. That's the same Troy where the war happened with Homer and all that stuff. And he's got to go over. He gets a vision of a man who says, "Help, come to Macedonia. Help, come to Macedonia." And so Paul and Silas get in a boat. They go over to Macedonia and they go to Philippi, which is this Roman colony. It's a prominent city. And when they get to Philippi, there is a slave woman, a slave girl, and she has a demon that is possessing her. And the demon is saying, "These men are slaves of the Most High God. They have a way of salvation for you," right? And of course, the great irony in this is that the slave girl and the demoniac, the demon that's in the slave girl, are doing Paul's job. The demon is actually saying who Paul is and what he's doing. There's no lies. This is the truth, right? But it's the truth in such an obnoxious way that it's driving Paul up the wall, right? And so there's like multiple days of this slave girl following him and saying, "You know, these men, slaves of the Most High God, they have a way of salvation," right? And that's great, like for once or maybe twice or maybe an hour or maybe 2 hours. But, you know, after like 3 or 4 or 5 days of being followed by people telling you what you're doing, right? And, of course, what's the great irony? The great irony is that nobody likes to talk more than Paul, right? I mean, he spends his whole life talking to people about what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, where they need to go, all this, right? And the demon that's afflicting him is doing his job of talking, right? You couldn't create a better demon for Paul of Tarsus, right? He's got the demon that has to let him hear the demon talk, and he can't talk, right? And so he's annoyed, and he turns around to the slave girl, And he tells the demon to get out, and the demon leaves, right? And of course, this is what precipitates the whole of the story, kind of, you might say, unraveling for Paul and Silas, because the slave owners, the slave girls' owners are like, hey, what did you do? That's our cash cow there. You can't get rid of the demon, right? So they get Paul and Silas, they bring them before the magistrates. The magistrates have them beaten with rods and flogged and stripped naked and walked to the innermost jail cell in the prison, right? And so here's this vision that they had. And the vision was, help, come to Macedonia. And they go to Macedonia and they wind up in prison, having been beaten and flogged and stripped, and every humiliation and pain that could be inflicted on them. And yet when they get to prison and they're in the stocks, and the word for stocks here is exilion, which is, literally means trees. They're basically locked in these wooden blocks, right? And they're in this uncomfortable position. And yet here they are praising God and singing hymns to God, right? And so the very place that nobody would have chosen, not even Paul would have chosen, to go someplace where he would have gotten beaten, where he'd gotten flogged and stripped naked and thrown in the innermost dungeon in a prison. And there they are. And of course, if I were Paul, I would be complaining and I would be miserable and I'd be yelling at the jailer, don't you know my rotator cuff has a serious problem and I'm allergic to this type of wood? You can't put me here, right? All of this, they've been falsely imprisoned and yet they are praising God and singing hymns, which gives us a really brilliant insight. I hate to break this to all of you, even you, Emmy. I hate to break this to all of you, but day by day you are getting older. And you know what happens when you get older, Patsy? Bad things, right? Right? You can't walk. You get bad feet. You need a cane, right? You put on a few extra pounds in the wrong place, right? So not only do you lose your capacity, but you lose your beauty and charm and everything. And everybody just tells you, well, at least you're wise, right? Yeah, exactly, right? Do they tell you that, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, at least you're wise. Yeah. So anyway,
second word on that.
This right here brings up the very point of our existence. You will suffer. There is nothing you can do about it. Whether you try to avoid suffering or whether you, like a madman, court suffering, it will find you. There's nothing you can do about it. Even if you take all the right supplements, even if you do nothing but eat broccoli and drink water that has been filtered 15 times, you still will suffer. There's nothing you can do about it. And then the question is, so what are you going to do given the fact that you are going to suffer? Are you going to throw a pity party? Are you going to say, woe is me? Are you going to say, I just got to get it all over right now? What will you do? What Paul and Silas did is this. They realized that you do not evangelize with just words. Words are empty. Words by themselves are garbage. Even a demon can speak the truth, and everybody knows that it's empty and vain. And so what they realized was, you know what? If we've been beaten and flogged and stripped naked and put falsely in prison, that sounds an awful lot like Jesus. And well, we better get to praising God and singing hymns, thanking God for putting us in the very image of Jesus when he suffered. Now, if you go to the end of the reading, what you will see in the last line of the reading is that when everything comes to be, it says that they all rejoiced. They all rejoiced. Now, there was an awful lot of suffering, and somebody almost committed suicide. It doesn't sound like a whole bunch of stuff that you'd want to rejoice about, but here's the deal. Their suffering led them to praising and giving thanks, and it led to people asking, how can I, with you, give thanks and praise and sing hymns with you? Now, nobody has ever, in the whole history of the universe, ever asked to sing hymns with me. Yeah, I know. And yet, not only in spite of, but because of the suffering that they had entered into with acceptance and with faith and with praise and with hymns on their hearts and on their lips, they transformed what was perhaps the worst possible situation into the most transformative moment of evangelization in all of Acts. You may not realize this, but even right now, you are suffering and so am I. And the question that is put before us with Paul and Silas is this. In the midst of this situation that isn't giving me everything I would want, what am I going to do? Who am I going to be in the midst of this suffering? And the answer that Paul gives to all of us is, be who you were created to be by God. Be the person who was created to love as God loves. Be the person who was created to give praise and thanks as God has created you to be. Now, Drake, has everything in your life gone perfectly? And you see, you're tall, thin, and beautiful, and young. Everything should be going your way, right? No. But what are you doing here? What are you doing right now? What are we doing? We're singing hymns, right? We're praising God. We're laughing at Father Robert. Right. Right. How about you, Brian? Is everything going super, super great in your life? All abounding, just perfect straight A's? Just say yes.
And then you'll just move on.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Matt? Everything. How's the market these days? Yeah. Right.
Ask you Monday.
That's right. And the point is this. I say this all the time. You have had suffering that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And yet, yeah, I'm looking at you two over there, okay? And yet, if somebody said to you, hey, Mimi, I'll take away all the suffering that you've ever gone through in your life, what would you say?
No,
it's my suffering. It's who I am. You can't have it because I've met Jesus in my suffering, and you can't have it. You see, that's the paradox of our lives. We think that we're cursed because we suffer. And yet, in our suffering is exactly where God meets us. It's strange that we have a Savior who will suffer and die for us, and yet, in our own lives, we wouldn't have anybody take all the suffering that we've gone through away from us. I remember the first time I talked with Jeannie over there, and she had horrible back problems. And I didn't even know it because she was so upbeat. She said, Father Robert, I'm going to have surgery, and I'm going to have this back surgery, but I've been in a lot of pain. And I couldn't believe it. She said to me, but I feel so blessed that you are with me today. She said, I'm going to have back surgery, but I am so blessed that you are with me. The good news doesn't come to us in kind of a saccharine, fake sort of way. It pulls us into the midst of what it means to be human in the most profound and difficult way possible. It asks us to go to the deepest place we can possibly can to summon all of our chutzpah up and to yet give thanks and praise. The outcome, of course, as I said at the end of the reading, is rejoicing. And that's exactly why you came here today. You came here because no matter what craziness is happening in your life, no matter what physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual issues you're going through, you said, you know what? We can turn those into praise and thanksgiving. We can be shaped like Jesus was. We can rejoice no matter what it is that is causing the suffering. I wish I could just suck out all the suffering out of each and every one of you, right? I wish I could get your hip better, right? I wish I could get your knee better. I wish I could get your kidney and lung better, right? Right? I wish I could just pour Latin into your head, right? Right? She's my protege over there, right? All right. And yet, even as I'm suffering, and even though all my friends are suffering, we come together to give thanks and praise because we know that we will be transformed not just out of our suffering, but through our suffering to be the very people we were created to be. People with depth, people with love, people who are just radiating with joy. I didn't come here today because I thought I was going to meet a bunch of perfect people who have nothing wrong in their lives. I came here because I know a bunch of real people were going to show up. People carrying their carts full of suffering, which they were going to pray over and which they were going to find Jesus in. That's the strange thing about the good news. It ain't the perfect news. It's not the glossy news. It's not the shiny Hollywood news. It's the real news. The news that calls us to be real. The news that calls us to realize that we are loved and that we are not forgotten, no matter how painful the suffering is. So, here we are at the Eucharist. Let us rejoice. Amen.